Awesome. Well, listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you or introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And I say it every week. I'll continue to say it. I won't stop saying it. There's literally no place I would rather be than right here with you all, worshiping God and praising His name. And I'm so happy you decided to spend your Sunday morning doing just that. Today's an exciting Sunday on many fronts. One of the biggest ones is we get to see 10 people take their next step and be water baptized today at our third worship experience. And we also get to continue our series today entitled, What's the Point? And we're going to be talking all about what's the point of church? What's the point of the church? Now, if you haven't asked this question yet in your life, you at one point will. If you maybe were asking the question prior to jumping back into a gathering of God's people, church, maybe you got the answer. Maybe you're still asking that question now, today. What's the point of this? Now, we all come into church with our own predisposed ideas of what church is. I'm going to be really real with you and open about my growing up and what I thought church was. I thought church was just something you could skip because Sundays were my day off. I remember saying that as a young kid. Sundays were my day off. I don't need to go to that. And I had nobody in my life modeling that. I grew up Serbian Orthodox. My dad was Serbian Orthodox. My mom was Roman Catholic. She later converted to Serbian Orthodox. But my mom would take us to church. My mom would do that as my dad worked, and he continued to only come to church on Christmas and Easter, okay? And there was nobody modeling for me what the church was besides something that I just went to on Sundays. Now, that was everything that I thought was it's all about religion. I didn't know when to kneel or stand or cross myself because I didn't grow up in the church the way my sister did. She was in Tamboritzins and all these things. She went away to camp, and I didn't get to do all those things. So we started to drift away from the church as I got a little bit older. And then I started to wonder about, like, Christianity. What does that mean? And whenever my dad would say, if your uncle's a Christian, I would hate to meet the devil. I was like, well, I guess Christianity ain't it. I guess that those people and those churches are a whole bunch of hypocrites. They're one way there, and then they're another way when they're around other people. Or I would see what I saw on TV, which was, you know, these evangelical pastors just talking crazy sometimes with what I thought, somebody from the outside, or the people that you'd see down in the strip district on their soapbox screaming, you're going to hell. I was like, what's the point of all this? What is the point? And then I got invited to church. Now, I thought that a church had to be a building. It had to be this place with a big steeple and a red door. And that was what church was. Church was a building. But because of this girl that I met and her family, they invited me to start attending church. And I quickly realized, that girl's now my wife, by the way, but as I grew in my relationship and grew and met Christ, I realized the church had nothing to do with the building. Nothing to do with the building at all. Zero. Except that was the place where we gathered. It had everything to do with the people that made up the church. Because you all are the church. You are the ones that are called to make a difference. Let's jump into our first text of the day. And before we read it, I just want to pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the questions that you're going to answer today. Lord, I thank you for the clarity that you're going to bring. Lord, I even thank you for the questions that you're going to create in people's minds and their families and their hearts. God, I thank you that today will continue to draw each and every one of us closer to you and your church in every single way. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Matthew 16, We're going to start off in verse 18, and it reads, "And I tell you the truth, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my
church."
Say it louder.
Church.
Say it like you really are having fun being it.
Church.
There we go. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." What does this mean? Number one, it means that we have an enemy and nothing that he can do or ever will ever win. Okay? We are called to be a church that is built on the foundation that Jesus poured for us. This also tells us that this is just heaven practice. Whatever we do here on earth, we're investing in eternity. We're investing in eternity. Today, when we gather three times at 8 a.m. and 9:30 and soon to be at our 11 a.m., we are just practicing for heaven. I don't want you to get to heaven and be shocked, like, "I didn't know it was going to be like this. I didn't know we were going to be worshiping all the time. I had no idea there were going to be streets of gold." No, start making investments now in how you function as your part of the church so that you can one day see it in heaven, even more so. I don't want you to lose things here on earth and lose them forever in eternity because you didn't want to be a part and invest in the church, what you're called to be. So what are we called to be as the church? The word church in this text is ekklesia. We are a group of called out ones. Now, when I was growing up, if somebody called you out, they were challenging you. Okay, listen, I'm calling you out. We're going to fight after lunch. I'm like, listen, you may think you're fighting, but you're losing. You see what I said there? Right? That's what called out meant. Like, I'm going to call you out. Now, in the Christian world, we are, it's a good thing to be called out. What are we called out from? The world. We're called out from the world and to call the world and draw the world closer to God. In everything that we do, I'm so thankful that we're called out from the culture that's outside of these walls. I'm so happy that we're called out from what's going on in the culture outside of these walls. I'm so happy that we're called to be different. And you're supposed to embrace your differences and be thankful that you're called out to make a difference in the world around you. And you're called out to call people to God. And when you're outside of these walls, as you're walking as a son or daughter of the King, people should see the difference in you. They should see the difference. So let's talk a little bit more about church. And there's three different applications for the word church. And there's the universal church, the regional church, and the local expression of the church. The universal church, that's the big C church, the whole world. You're a part of something so much larger than you that you can't even fathom. You're part of the early church that we read about in the book of Acts. You're part of all of it. Once you meet Jesus and you take your rightful position as a son and daughter, you become part of this universal church, this universal group of called out ones. Now, we think, oh, well, it's all about Bridge City. No. Oh, well, it's all about the church, other church down the street then. No. It's all about us realizing that we're a part of something so much bigger than ourselves and we're not a whole bunch of different rival gangs. We're one gang pulling in the same direction, trying to walk in victory over the same enemy. I don't know what our gang sign would be, but maybe... I think we should have one. We used to be Word and Worship Church, so that's two W's. So you know, I used to throw up West Side all the time. Right? I like it because we had a gang sign for our local expression of the gang. The regional church. you get to celebrate. If something's happening in Southwest Pennsylvania, you're part of that. You might think that the prayers that you... The prayers that you are praying are only for here. In a lot of ways, you're praying specifically for here, but in a lot of ways, too, you're praying for the regional church. I just want people to meet Jesus in Pittsburgh. I want Pittsburgh to be known for Jesus and not steel. I want Pittsburgh to be known for Jesus and his church and the revival that's taking place within his church in Pittsburgh, more so than how many championships we've won or not won. I want Pittsburgh and the regional church to grow and win over and over and over and over again. I don't want to hear that there's churches closing down. I don't want to hear that there's churches closing their doors. I don't want to hear that there's pastors quitting. I don't want to hear that. I want success for the church. Now, here we are. We're going to talk about us because that's what you've been waiting for. We're the local expression of the church. Now, I might be a little biased, but I think I like this one a lot. Remember, there's no place I'd rather be than right here with you all on Sunday morning worshiping God and praising his name. Obviously, this side of heaven. I'd much rather be in heaven with everybody that we're going to gather to go there. But this Bridge City Church is all I've ever known. It's all I've ever known. Now, I've gone to a bunch of other churches, and I can't wait to come back home. I can't wait to come back home because of what God's doing here. That is the three expressions of the church. So Ephesians 2, 19 through 21. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house. Everybody say, his house. I didn't make anybody do that during the first, and then you guys said it, and I started thinking, welcome to my house. Anyways, here we go. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. When we recognize that we're called out, what are we called out from? The world. We're called to something. What is that? Eternity. And we start to recognize the fact that we are no longer just citizens of here or McKeesport or White Oak or North Versailles or North Huntington or Greensburg or Port View or Glassport. We're no longer just citizens of the town that we're in. We're citizens of something so much bigger. We're citizens of heaven. And we're called to experience heaven here on earth just as we will when we're there. Now, when we understand who we are as his church, and that everything rests upon him and will be built upon him and victory will be his, and we constantly are doing things to bring glory to him, it changes us. And our perspective of what church is. Church is not just a gathering, it's a people. Church is not a building. It's a community that building is placed in that you're called to impact. Church is not just what you experience on Sunday mornings or whatever time you go to church. Church is us recognizing that we are God's arranged members. And we're placed into a body. And he chose to do that. This is not an accident. This is not an accident. You're not here by accident. You're not here outside of anything other than God's purpose and plan for your life. And I'm thankful you are here. I'm thankful that we get to continue to walk out the truths that God has shown us about Jesus' church. Number one is that Jesus, God is committed to building his church. He's never going to stop. And how's he committed to do that? Through you all. There's no plan two or B. There's no plan besides plan A and plan one, you. None. He's going to build his church through you all. going outside into the world that you're called out of to get direction and power from him, and then you're sent back out into the world to change it and to grow his church. Here's another thing that is absolutely true, and it will always be true. The devil hates the church. There's a real enemy that hates you, hates our gathering, hates the fact that there are going to be people that go outside of these walls and take the church outside of these walls. Now, remember, I said the church is the people, not the building, right? You know what the enemy loves? He loves when you think church is just about your nice little chair and your four walls that you get to gather in, and you keep everything that you've ever heard or experienced inside those walls. He loves that. Yeah. He loves that. He hates the church when you all understand that you are called out to go and draw people closer to God. When you stop just going to church and you start being the church, it changes everything. It changes everything. I'm believing that we'll continue to be a group of people that loves gathering together. We don't neglect the gathering together, but we get so excited to go outside of these walls. I'm believing that we will continue to be a group of people that understands that there's a real enemy, but there's a real victory that we get to walk in all the days of our life, and we get to draw other people closer to that. Another truth about the church is Christians need the church. Listen, I am so thankful for technology. I'm so thankful for our creative team. I'm so thankful for our social media teams that take what we have and they share it out. I'm so thankful for that. But you can watch messages. You can go and watch the best preachers in the world online. Way better than me. Way better than me. You can go watch the best in the world at home on your couch. But you cannot recreate this. You can't recreate community. You can't recreate what the early church modeled for us in the book of Acts. You cannot recreate this. You can't recreate what it's like to have brothers and sisters that are going to walk with you and encourage you and empower you and challenge you. You can't recreate what it means to have somebody you can call on the worst day of your life, and they're going to be there. You can't recreate what it means to walk into a room and you hear the best sound you could ever hear, which is your own name and somebody saying, "Good morning, Dawn." The best sound you can hear within this community is somebody saying your name. You'd be like, "Nobody ever says my name." Well, when's the last time you introduced yourself to somebody? I'm just saying, it's not always somebody else's fault. The world is waiting for the church. I want to bring these two together. The church, Christians need the church, and the world is waiting for the church. I had the pleasure and honor and privilege of being a part of a celebration of life this past week. And it's for a woman that I never, ever got to physically meet. I've heard lots of stories about her. I got to be around her family and her extended family for a long period of time, and everybody told me about Grammy. Now, she is 93 years old, had 8 children, 53 grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Yep. Now, I was fully prepared to walk into a funeral home that was a representation of a 93-year-old. Like, usually there's not a lot of people, there's not, and it's understandable. They lived a long life. A lot of people that they lived life with aren't around anymore. There were 4 rooms full of people for her funeral. Why? It wasn't because of how great she is. It was all about the fact that she knew how important the church was, and she knew how important it was to take the church outside, because there was a world that was dying, hurting, and broken. And she knew how important it was to pour into her family, her children, her grandchildren, to go and take the church to the world. I want you all to be as excited about taking the church outside of these walls as Chloe was. I want you to be excited about understanding that there's a world out there that needs what you have and what you're experiencing. So what's the point of the church? Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. I love whenever somebody will say to me, yeah, you're stubborn. I'm like, no, I'm a gift. What do you mean? I'm like, I got chapter and verse. Let's go read it together. I'm a gift. That's what I am. I'm like, oh, pastor. I'm like, no. The word of God tells me that I'm a gift. But the word of God tells us so much in these two verses on what we're called to do. People will lie to you and say, the church just wants you to do everything. The church just wants you to serve more. The church just wants you to do this, that, or the third. No, the word of God tells us that when we're called to serve together, we're called to equip others for the work of the ministry in every single way. Our Bridge City student leaders, they're not called to do everything. They're called to draw others to get the work done. Our worship team, they're not called to do everything. They're called to draw others into leading you into the presence of God. Our connection group leaders, they just facilitate a time and a place where to meet. They're not called to do everything. They're equipped, called to go equip, get you to be equipped to go out and do the work. Our usher team leaders, our Bridge City Kid team leaders, everybody, we're all called to do one thing, get equipped and go to work. Get equipped and go to work. Get equipped and go to work. Now, this should ring really true for all the Mon Valleyers that are in this room, because that's what you were created. Like, you've grown up, just work harder, do more, work harder, do more, work harder, do more. No, get equipped more so that you can draw others into the relationship with God that they were created to be in, and then go get equipped more, and then go draw others in. Get equipped more and go draw others in. Just keep doing this over and over and over and over again. You know, I came into ministry, I fell in love with serving the kingdom of God. So much so that this verse needed to be preached to me because I needed to catch it. So much so that if I didn't catch this verse, I was going to rob people of so much. Pastor Rick, did somebody turn the heat up? I wasn't hot all. What's the heat on, Phil? Phil, what's the heat on? It got super hot in here. What's it? Yeah, what's it say? I'm just curious. 71. Open a window. Feels like Orlando in June up here. Is anybody else hot? That heat, I've been listening. It has not shut off for the last. Oh, I thought it was going to be like 67 degrees maybe. She went like this, and I was just. I will never say that again. I'm sorry. It's done. Once adults start saying it. Did it get really hot, Matt?
Feels nice.
Well, I would like to hear from another group. Another demographic, maybe. Dawn, when's the last? I haven't asked you for a sweat towel in a long time. Can somebody grab me one? Yeah. Man, maybe I'm just real excited. Equip and work. Here we go. Let's keep going. Verses 13 and 14. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full, complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like truth. This is a place for us to not just gather and get older. It's a place for us to gather and grow in maturity, to get to a point of completeness, to get to a point where we are reaching our full capacity. This is a place for us to gather together, and we're called to fulfill our spiritual journey that each of us are on.
You're okay.
I just needed one. Like, there we go. I'm good. I don't have any hair up there to catch, like, if I start sweaty. I'm excited for us to continue to mature together into everything that God has us to do. So what's the point of the church? Ephesians 4, 15 through 16. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. You may be here today and you're like, I don't know if I'm a part of the body. I don't know if I'm being an active and growing part of the body. I don't know if I'm being used. And the enemy loves for you to be stuck in that point where you feel unnecessary, where you feel unuseful, where you feel like that if you just drifted away off into the sunset, no one would care or nobody would know. That may be true. We're going to have about 500 people at church today. Okay? Now, it is very easy for any one of those 500 people to just drift away off into the sunset, and it takes weeks sometimes for people to notice. But you know how you make sure that people don't notice, that people do notice? You become an active part. You become a part of a team. You become a part of a group. You become a part of either of those two so that when you walk in here, people do know your name. Not everybody will know your name, but your people will know your name, the people that you serve with and the people that you do life with. Your group and your team. They'll know if you're not here. As a matter of fact, our wonderful charge man will call you if you're not here and you're on a team. Right, Jim? Where'd he go? He's downstairs encouraging teams. The third huddle of the day is about to start. That's where our charge man is right now. If you want to make sure that you're a part of the body and you're fit and you're healthy and you're growing and you're an active part, make sure that you're useful. If not, the enemy's going to lie to you and he's going to make sure that you just feel cut off. Completely cut off from what God's doing here. And he loves that. He loves to make you feel unuseful. He loves to make you feel like nobody would even notice. So who's the church and who's the church for? The church is a group of believers that are called to grow in faith and in community. The church is for believers. The church is for people to draw people closer and become believers. So what does that mean? The church is for seekers, people that are just trying to figure this life out, who are curious about God and life's purpose. You may be someone today that you walked in this place, you're like, I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm just kicking the tires on this whole Christianity thing. This is a safe place for you to do that. The church is for those that are hurting and hopeless. It's a place for those people to discover hope. This place is not a country club. It's a hospital. It's a place for people to receive forgiveness and begin to walk in healing. The church is for the world that's outside of these walls that's waiting for you all to be the church. The church is built by Christ and filled with his Spirit and joined through baptism and driven by his mission and united as his family. And the church exists for his glory. The church is his. And the church has a mission that we're all called to walk out. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and McKeesport, and North Versailles, and White Oak, and all the surrounding areas, all the way to the ends of the earth. You're part of the mission. And when you're a part of that mission, you're called to, in everything you do, reflect God's glory. You're called to be a reflection of God's glory. You're called to be a reflection of God's grace. You're called to be a reflection of God's mercy. You're called to be a reflection of His mercy and forgiveness. You're called to be that. Ephesians 3:21, glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You may be here today and you're like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to reflect that. And maybe that's because you have not met Him yet. You can't reflect a living God to a dying world if you haven't received Him yet. That's like going over to that wall and trying to see your reflection, and there's no mirror there. You were created to be a mirrored image of God. When people see you, they see Jesus. And they might not even know that's who they see yet. When people see you, they see joy and peace and self-control and all the fruits of the Spirit. They see that. But it all starts somewhere with you receiving Him and who He is as your King. If you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want today to be your day, October 26th, 2025. If you don't have a day where you have confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that He is Lord, I want today to be your day. If you don't have a day where you've left your past behind you and placed it fully at the foot of the cross, I want today to be your day. I'm going to ask you to do one of the bravest things you've ever done, but one of the greatest things you'll ever do, and that is just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I want to take my rightful position at the table as a son or daughter, and then I want to go outside of these walls and tell people all about You. Anyone at all today? Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Heaven rejoices that another one's coming home. Thank You, Jesus. Anyone else? We got two new brothers. Anybody else? We got some sisters, maybe? Anyone else? Everybody's just pointing like there's somebody. Was there somebody over here that raised their hand that I didn't see? Where? I got you. God got you. We got you. We celebrated. Anybody else? Father God, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Listen, if you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to do something really brave. That's stand to your feet. And there's people in the back that want to pray with you. They want to pray with you and help you see what you just did and the decision you just made. Greco, help him walk to the back. Help him walk to the back. There we go. Come on. Go get it. God, if you raise your hand, go ahead, make your way to the back. They got Bibles for you. They're going to pray with you. They're going to encourage you. Father God, I thank You for today. I thank You that the heavens are rejoicing with those that are coming home. I thank You for who You are and who we get to be. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.